And so we turn to Scripture for guidance today, and from the Old Testament's Psalm 143, we hear the petition of one who offers up her life as a living prayer, seeking to follow God's way. Listen to my prayer, O Lord. Because of your faithfulness, hear my requests for mercy. Because of your righteousness, answer me. Tell me all about your faithful love come morning time, because I trust you. Show me the way I should go, because I offer my life up to you. Deliver me from my enemies, Lord. I seek protection from you. Teach me to do what pleases you, because you are my God. Guide me by your good spirit into good land. And from the Gospel of Luke, an angel comes to Mary with a life-changing announcement. 1 month later, God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Nazareth in Galilee with a message for a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to Joseph from the family of King David. The angel greeted Mary and said, "You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you." Well, Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what they meant. And then the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid. God is pleased with you, and you will have a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of God Most High. The Lord God will make him king as his ancestor David was. He will rule the people of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Well, Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm not married." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come down on you, and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even though she is very old. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months she will have a son. Nothing is impossible for God." Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." And the angel left her. Well, this familiar story in the birth of Jesus is often referred to as the Annunciation. It's called that because the angel Gabriel announced news to a young betrothed woman named Mary. The startling, unprecedented news he told her was that God had chosen her to give birth to one who would grow to be humanity's Savior. Pretty heady stuff. That's a lot to take in. Mary couldn't have anticipated anything like that. She was just a typical young woman in Nazareth, a tiny Galilean village of maybe 100 people. As was the custom, through the decision of their families, Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph. She didn't have any say in that decision. A betrothal was as firm a legal contract as any. In the months ahead, she might meet her betrothed at gatherings of their two families, but she wouldn't live with him or have any intimacy with him until after the wedding ceremony, which would happen perhaps a year or several years in the future. So how was it that a typical girl from a small village off the beaten path became the subject of an angelic annunciation? And what exactly happened? What did that look like? Was there a spotlight blinding Mary? Were Gabriel and Mary standing in this pool of light surrounded by darkness? Was there music? Utter silence? Did Gabriel wait until Mary was alone so there would be no witnesses and people would have to take her word for it? Well, Gabriel's annunciation to Mary followed a formula, believe it or not, a formula found in birth announcements in the Old Testament. The angel says, "Do not be afraid," calls the recipient of this vision by name, assures her of God's favor, announces the birth of a child, discloses the name of the child to be born, and reveals the future role of the child. Although the Bible says Mary was confused when Gabriel told her, "You are truly blessed and God is with you," Mary didn't seem particularly afraid. For that matter, it wasn't proper in those days for a stranger to approach a woman. But again, Mary didn't seem afraid. Was she too young to know to be afraid? Perhaps her receptivity to the angel and his message is explained by her response at the end of this episode. You remember what she said? Mary said to the angel, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." Now, Mary had her whole life in front of her. She was contracted to be married in the next year or so. She'd be leaving her parents' home and joining her husband's family. And now she's learned that the blessing of motherhood would come upon her even before the consummation of her marriage contract. How could she handle all that? Mary could deal with all that because she possessed a spirit of godly submission. She understood that her life was not her own. Her life was God's gift for her to use to fulfill God's will. Remember, let it happen as you have said. Submission, it's an unpopular word in our culture. It might suggest weakness, kinkiness, sometimes abuse. But as we see in the example of young Mary of Nazareth, submission can be a sign of strength, not weakness. Submission can be an expression of trust, of obedience, of faith. A monumental American theologian of the last century was a man at the University of Chicago Divinity School named Paul Tillich. And Tillich captured the significance of Mary's submission to God when he wrote, "Faith means being grasped by a power that is greater than we are, a power that shakes us and turns us and transforms us and heals us. Surrender to this power is faith." Now, submission is not something that's easy for most of us. We live in a culture where we're encouraged to be self-reliant, to be independent-minded, to become take-charge types. Our systems, religious as well as secular, work on the principle of individual gratification, self-awareness, self-improvement, self-esteem. We believe in being true to yourself, finding your own way, standing up for yourself, in buying or willing your way into a particular identity. And the very idea of being submissive is anathema, unless we are obeying parents or teachers, law enforcement, of course, bosses, coaches. But even that can be challenging. For instance, someone as accomplished and powerful as former Dallas Cowboys quarterback Roger Staubach admitted to having to struggle to submit to his coach, the legendary Tom Landry. Staubach admitted that his position as quarterback, who didn't call his own signals, was a source of trial, struggle for him. Coach Landry sent in every play. He told Roger when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could Staubach change the play, and he'd better have been right. Even though Roger considered Landry to have a genius mind when it came to football strategy, pride said that he should be able to run his own team. Landry later said, "I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, victory." Indeed, when Staubach embraced the idea of submitting to his coach, he was able to lead his team to 2 pro football championships. Now, I suggest that there's a familiar word for this act of submitting, of offering your life to God. And that word is praying. Yeah, praying is not merely a series of spiritual-sounding sentences or memorized verse. Praying is putting yourself in a condition of submission, of offering to God all that you are. In a spirit of prayer, whether using words or simply resting in God's presence, in a spirit of prayer, you offer yourself to God with the desire that God's plan, God's purpose, God's will may come closer to fruition because of your actions, your words, your attitude. 2 quite different figures offer us perspective on submitting to God's will. The 16th century Spanish nun, Saint Teresa of Avila, described the goal of a Christian this way. She wrote, "We can only learn to know ourselves and do what we can, namely, surrender our will and fulfill God's will in us." And the other one was a former ball player for the New York Yankees in the 1950s and 60s. Bobby Richardson captured the essence of submission in a prayer that is a classic in brevity and in poignancy. He once prayed, "Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen." Mary's closing words in the scripture of the Annunciation are her prayer of submission to God's will. Our Advent journey invites you to recognize that the glory of Christmas came about by the willingness of ordinary people to obey God's claim on their lives. May Mary's prayer of submission, her prayer of obedience, her prayer of faith become our prayer as well. "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." Amen.